Ephesians chapter 6. All of this, he is giving instruction to the believer. And he gets down, and we'll get there in just a minute. He gets down in verse number 10 and says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Think about that. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." He's thinking about a particular day. "In the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And he goes on down. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to talk to you this evening about the struggle of the believer. The struggle of the believer. Every child of God is going to have a struggle with an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. He's identified in this chapter, among many others. And be sure to know this. Listen, he is here to keep sinners lost. He is here to give the church the struggle of their life and to give every child of God as much friction as he's able to give. Are you listening? We are going to have a battle with him. We stay in a battle with him. There may be times we are resting. Maybe God lets us rest from the battle, but we are soldiers in a battle against an enemy. And we have a warfare, a spiritual warfare, that we're going to war. We're going to wrestle in. Amen? We're going to fight in this war. Now, I'm giving you scripture now. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? The Bible tells us, you know, for us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so we are in a warfare. Now, there's some things that he helps us here in this chapter to war this warfare. The very first thing, if you'll notice, he deals with the family. The duties of the children right up to the father. And listen, you cannot have victory in your life if the home is not the way it needs to be. A child must give reverence to their mother and their father. That's what God said. And you're going to have the struggle. Listen, if you don't have a good relationship with your mom and dad, the devil's going to make sure you never have a good relationship with your mom and dad. He's going to wrestle you right there. He's going to keep you down right there. And he's going to knock you out of obeying the Lord and the blessings of God. Do you know that honoring your father and mother was the first commandment that God gave with a promise to it? That your days would be long on the earth. You honor your father and mother, and your days will be long on the earth. Listen, I know there are most young people think they know more than their parents do. And, you know, mom and dad, they're getting old, you know, and they're slipping. And I want to tell you something. They've been through and back more things than you've ever even looked at. Especially if they're saved parents. Amen? But he's telling us here to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God said, this is right. That's the right thing to do. You're wondering whether you should honor your father and mother. It's right. Amen. No matter what's going on in the past, it is right. If you're saved, it's right. Even if they're lost, it's right. Listen, that one act of honor may be the very thing God uses to open their eyes to Christ. My youngins got something in them that makes them put me up on a pedestal in their heart. I mean, that does something to a mother and father to know that their children love them and honor them. But when you have a child, even a saved child, listen, and they're struggling or they have a rebellion because maybe they think mom and dad's been too hard. Maybe they think that, mom and dad's not where they need to be. I mean, it could go a lot of different ways. Are you listening to me? The best thing you can do is drop your head, get on your knees and pray and say, God, help my mama and help my daddy and bless their lives and help me to honor them. Amen? You do what you're supposed to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth. You want it to be well with you, don't you? You sure don't want it to be bad with you. Amen. You want it to be well with you. You want your life to go well. You want your job to go well. You want your home to go well. That it'll be well with you. You see the connection here? And you know why? Because it's such a picture of the Father and His children. And the way you honor your father here on earth is going to be a lot of the way you honor God. And the way you submit to them will tell a lot on how you're going to submit to God. The Lord Himself said that if you can't submit to Him, you can see. And if you can't love Him that you can see, how can you love or submit to Him who you can't see? We want to always, listen to me, we want to always give ourselves the blue ribbon. Amen? It's always going to be everybody else. It's them. It ain't me. Right? Always pin the blue ribbon on myself. But listen, God said, if it's going to be well with you, you honor your father and your mother. You obey them. You submit to them. But here's what we do. We'll say, well, you know, I just can't connect with them. But now I've got a good relationship with my Heavenly Father. Blue ribbon. Amen. You're lying. You're lying. And you may not even know you're lying. You may think you've got a great relationship with God, but I promise you, God's looking down upon you, waiting for you to get that relationship with you and your mom and your dad straight. Amen? To where you can honor them. Honor them. Regard. Honor them. Amen? Honor them always. The Bible says to honor them, that it may be well with thee on the earth. And ye fathers, this is how you provoke not your children to wrath. There are parents, listen, that'll try to get their kids upset. That's no good. That's no good. That's just like raising a dog. And the whole time you're raising it, you're slapping it around and you know, popping it on the nose and doing little things to make it just mean as a snake. And then when it gets big, you're wondering why that dog just as mean as the devil himself. Well, you made him that way. Provoking him. And don't provoke your children. Amen. Encourage them. Bible says to raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's a lot of difference in raising one and training one. Raising one, they're in your house. They come in and out. And you feed them, you clothe them. That's raising them. Training them is showing them how to be every day. And every situation, you're sitting them down and you're dealing with them. Parents, a lot of times, they get weary in well-doing and they'll just go on and get out of my hair. That's the worst thing you can do for your children. That's the worst thing you can do. No, you sit them down, quote them a scripture, and say, this is why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. I'm giving you something that you can ponder on. This is what God wants out of your life. This is the direction God would have you to go. Don't provoke them. Oh, you're sorry. You ain't never going to be worth a dime. Now, some ain't that rough, but some are. Some are. Amen. You ain't never going to do nothing. You can't do anything right. I mean, just a constant belittle, a constant belittling. Don't provoke, fathers, your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want them to admonish the Lord. You want to honor the Father, just like they honor their father and mother on the earth. You want them to know how to admonish the Lord. Amen. And you want to nurture them. How do you do that? How do you nurture something? You feed it. What do we feed them? You feed them the milk and the meat of the Word. The only thing you can feed them. Amen. You feed them the right things. You feed them the right ways. Don't sit them down, listen, before a television and let them and turn your back while you do dishes and laundry and everything. And God in heaven knows what they're seeing on that television. Even if they're just watching little cartoons. We'll be back. All them commercials are some of the wickedest things you've ever seen in your life. And is being pumped full of that mess. To where when they get a certain age, they're not going to blush if they do see something. They've already seen it. They're not going to blush if they hear something or close their ears or be surprised, because that's language we don't say in our house. We don't hear in our house. But they've already heard it. So, and then he goes on and says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, he's talking to people that were slaves back then. But you and I can apply this to those that we put ourselves under to work for. We put ourselves under somebody to work for, and then we mumble and grumble constantly at them. And I'm saying all this, you say, preacher, I thought you was talking about a warfare. Exactly. Because the devil, he's gonna pick at your job. Are you hearing me? He's gonna try to put hate in you, or a bitterness in you, a bitter taste in your mouth. Amen. I mean, listen, if you sign on for something and you're happy to sign on with that, then you be glad that you're getting it. Amen. Be glad as if the Lord was giving it to you. I know you may think, well, you know, you'd think that they'd do some more. Amen. That they'd do some more. That's what Jesus was telling them about. That signed on first thing in the morning for a penny. Then those that signed on in the middle of the day for a penny. Then those that signed on at the end of the day for a penny. Those that had worked all day said, now that just ain't right. They're making as much as we are. And he said, I don't owe you nothing else. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Too many times we get our eyes looking on what is happening in others, and there's a covetousness that comes. A covetousness. I'm talking about warfare. And when you listen, and you get in a play, don't take a whole lot of little foxes to spoil the whole vine. You've got a father that's not committed to the children. Children not honoring the father. You've got workers that are bitter about their pay, or maybe they're covetous of what somebody else has. And all of that is in the home. All of that is in the house of God. And we wonder where the liberty is. We are supposed to be living joyfully before the Lord, working as unto the Lord. Amen. You know what this world ought to see? The happiest people on the face of the earth. The most joyful people that there is. There's a bad day. Praise God, it wasn't worse than it was. Thank God, amen, that we're alive. It's all in the way that you look at things, but the devil's going to try to come at you and me with a negative always. Always. And how we deal with one another. How we deal with one another. That's what he's talking about right here. Our families. The people we know around us, how we deal with one of our relationships with one another. And we are not honoring the way that we should. And we're not receiving correction the way that we should. We're not admonishing the way that we should. We don't have a singleness of heart the way that we should. You see, all these, we are so busy making sure we're not doing the big things. But we're not paying any attention to what it looks like, maybe some of these smaller things. And they're the things that's killing us. It'll kill us spiritually. Promises that we've made to work and to workers. To do good. To reward those. Amen. To see Christ as our master. And he says for us to be strong. We have to watch. Every one of us have to watch. That a hypocrisy doesn't slip upon us. A hypocrisy. Like I said a while ago, I want to pin a blue ribbon on me. But now you don't get no ribbon at all. Lord, have mercy. I see and hear a child talking about his father and his mother. I see a father running down his child. I see workers, people that work together, people that are together in different places. I see them against one another. Jesus said, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother. I mean, even right down to the core of the family. And we have to watch for this hypocrisy. We get into the place, listen, Jesus said, they honor me with their mouth and lips, but their heart is far from me. We begin to lose this battle. Lose it because of the things that we are not watching. Jesus told us above everything, watch. Watch and be sober. That means watch and watch. It's a double watch, amen. Watch looking for the Lord and watch looking what's going on around us. Amen. Listen, Lord, have mercy. We need to watch hypocrisy. I was reading a verse the other day in the Old Testament. God was rebuking those Israelites because some of them had gotten to the place. They said, wait, you stay where you are. And it says this, I'm holier than thou. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody having such a formalism about them that they actually see themselves holier than others, that they can't even get too close? God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. It's no wonder God set them aside and went to the Gentiles for a time. Amen? And I know it. Listen, those Hebrews, I can remember the first time I went to Israel. I was at the airport. And let's say that door right there, that's where you get your ticket. And, you know, they had people that was everywhere. But we had waited. And, I mean, we got up, it was pretty close. And you know how we do things in America. We leave a little space between us. At least a little. So help me. This Jew with one of those hats, those long side curls, black jacket, white shirt, black pants, black shoes. I mean, one of those really like a Pharisee, walks right up and stands right in front of me. Like, I've been holding this space for you. I mean, and turned around and looked at me like he was mad that I was standing there. He's just like, it's like he detested me. And I thought, I guess he thinks I'm a Gentile dog. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But you know what? I just started praying for him. I said, God, have mercy on him. If he's an Israelite, he's part of the people. The people of God, the earthly people of God. God, he needs to be saved. Lord, I'm glad I'm not a Gentile dog anymore. And I started getting happy inside. Amen? And it didn't matter to me that he came and stepped right in front of me. I was just glad to be saved. And not lost in my religion. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Hey, what a wonderful thing is when you're really living in Christ and enjoying the Lord. Amen. Watch and do exactly what the Lord would. God will help you and out of warfare the way we should. And God has said he'll give us the victory. Yes, he will. He'll give us the victory. But we're going to wrestle. We're going to wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, if I come up smart off to you, Ronnie, the offense that you're looking at is really not coming from me. You need to go further down the line if you're going to get that thing off of you. You could get mad back at me. But he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what would be the thing to do? Go home and get down on your knees, just like God said. And heap coals of fire upon somebody's head by praying for them. And being good to them. Amen? And not going home saying, God, I want to heap coals of fire. No, God wants us to be of an honest heart. And really, get broke. God will then heap the fire. And he's talking about the fires of conviction. It's like somebody taking a poor little innocent dove and just, you know, abusing it. Not having any feeling about it. And God's able to break their heart for touching something so innocent. Somebody that would actually turn around and go and pray, get on their knees and pray for them. That's hard to do sometimes, but that's how we're wrestling. And we can't do it outside of the Lord. Listen, regardless of what the Pentecostal crowd says and the Church of God crowd says, you're not going to stick your finger in the face of the devil and tell him anything. Michael the archangel didn't even bring a railing accusation against Satan. And Michael has wrestled him and wrestled with him. He knows his power. He's an archangel, or was an archangel. He's fallen. He is very powerful, but he's not all powerful. But even Michael, God's head archangel, didn't bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And you and I, listen, we are in a struggle. And we must have the Lord. We're not going to go through this life and go through our valleys and climb up our mountains. Are you listening? And sail our stormy seas and the things that buffet us. Are you listening to me? And do it with a chip on our shoulder all the time. Oh no! It's something you and I are going to have to pull her in and say, God, help me. Lord, help me. The disciples did exactly right when the ship began to sink. They went to him and said, Lord, we perish. We know we're going to sink if it ain't for you. And Peter walking on the water and then sinking, that was a great visual example to all of them and to us. He wasn't going to do that on his own. Peter walked on water. You see Peter walking on water? No, they were like, Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and he sunk. He sunk, but when he called on the Lord just stuck his hand out and raised him up and made the water solid under his feet again. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. Amen. I promise you, everything that's been done, they testified and said, the Lord did that. It was the Lord. You and I have a struggle. told us not to be, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Again, not like what Jesus said, this people honor me with their mouth and lips, but their heart is far from me. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto him, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Again, we have to watch in so many ways. We have to watch formalism, ceremonialism. Legalism, hypocrisy, wrong judging. There is a judging that's correct by the fruit, but it's not one that sits back like Israel. Oh, yuns are wicked. I'm holier than thou. Pray. Pray for people. Listen, there's a fine line. Listen to me, church. There's a fine line. And I guess we've all done this. God have mercy on us not to do it again, not to ever do it again. We've all at some time or another talked about a brother or sister. With them not around. Maybe even acting like it was a spiritual conversation, but it was more than that. If we run somebody down, God have mercy upon us, especially a brother or sister in Christ. Because we won't listen. If we go that route, that's what the devil wants. We won't stop there. It won't just be a brother or sister. It'll be the preacher, preacher's wife, preacher's family, deacon, deacon's wife. No holds barred. Amen. The best people in the church will wind up finding something. And we just got to tell somebody. We just have to. God help us to do something with that small member that's so much trouble. The tongue. Amen? It brings us so much trouble. God help us. Our feet and our hands and our tongue, our ears and our eyes bring us more trouble in this struggle. Things I see that I shouldn't see bring me a struggle. Things I hear that I shouldn't hear bring me a struggle. Now listen, I'm not saying there's not times for real honest prayer. But we can leave out a lot of details. Amen. And there's things, listen, that we hear that we're not supposed to hear that we can't help. You just walk in the door somewhere and there it is. But there are things we can control. And the things that we see, there are things that we can control. The things we say. I'll never forget. I actually told somebody recently. I said, God has helped me. You may have a trouble believing this. I hope you wouldn't. God in heaven knows I have settled this in my heart as much as I can, that if anybody comes to me in full confidence, whatever we talk about stays right there. I don't have a best friend that I go to and say, now, this was in confidence, but I'm telling you. I know you're not going to say nothing. And you know what you'll do? You'll go to yours in confidence. Now, me and you was real close, and he told me something in confidence he wasn't supposed to tell. I'm going to tell you because I know you won't tell nobody. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go to his guy. Are you listening to me? And it's gone. It's gone. No, if somebody asks you to pray about something, some things, listen, they need to stay right there, and that's it. Because that person evidently had enough confidence in you. If they ask you to keep something in confidence and to pray, to really pray, that they believed you wasn't going to say nothing to anybody, especially if it's about their own life. And I'll tell you why. Because you may be spiritual enough to understand the struggle that they're facing. You may not have a hard time believing, I still believe that person's saved, but they're struggling. And I need to help them to pray. Get over this. To get past it and get victory in their life. Because everybody else may not feel that way. Everybody else may feel like, how in the world could a member of the church do such a thing? Are you listening to me? God help us. God help us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Are y'all with me still? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God wants us to be strong. Strong. In the Lord. In the Lord. And He tells us how to be strong. He says, you put on the armor. Ah. There's strength. I don't have shoulders that can bear it, but the armor does. You put the armor on it, it can bear it. I don't have the strength to block it, but the shield does. I don't have the mind myself to keep it out, but the helmet does. Are you getting this tonight? Be strong in the Lord. And if we neglect to put on the whole armor, the devil's going to find that one spot we've not put on. And he's going to attack there. And he's going to attack whether you've got the whole armor or not. But if you've got the whole armor, you can be strong. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, verse 13. The evil day, in these last days, having done all to stand. I don't have time to go through the rest of this. I don't have the strength, really. We are in a struggle. We need to recognize that our brothers and sisters in Christ are in the same struggle. And we need encouragement, every one of us. They need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We need one another's prayer. We need one another. The body is meant to be together. The body is meant to be in unity. The body is meant to be of one heart. That's what the body is meant to be. And that's when we're the strongest. We are that one man in Christ. Many members. One body. One body. That's when we're the strongest. I tell you what, a foot can't kick nothing by itself. It's got to have a leg attached to it. And a leg can't help the foot kick. It's got to have a body attached to it. And even the body and the arms and the legs can't kick, hit, walk, nothing without the head. Got to have the head. Got to have him. Must have the head for you and I to make it through this struggle. Amen. The Lord prayed for us. You remember that in John 17? He said, I have prayed for thee. He told Peter, you said, well, that was to Peter. He told Peter, said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. And he said, I prayed for thee, and not for thee only, but for all them that will believe. Everybody from there on out that would ever believe, Jesus prayed that prayer for in John 17. I tell you, that'll juice your car when you realize the Lord prayed for me. The Lord prayed for me. You need to always remember that he prayed for you. Well, if there's one that I want praying for me, it's him. Thank God he prayed for me. Oh my, I'm done. I want you to stand. Maybe the Lord let me come back to